Welcome, everybody. Is everybody having a good time at Tech Ed so far? Yeah. Hey, come on. Everybody having a good time at Tech Ed so far? Yeah, that's better, guys. That's better. So welcome to our session today. Our session is entitled Empowering Your Users and Protecting Your Corporate Data. That thing that we all face challenges with every single day. My name is Gordon McKenna. I'm actually a System Center, Cloud and Data Center Management MVP. And I've got my colleague Martin Kuplin today, who's going to deliver some smoking demos to you, hopefully. So let's get started. So we've got an agenda today which is covering the following. So a lot of big announcements this morning at the keynote by Brad. So we've been desperately trying to add some of them in so we can cover them off today as well. So we're going to talk about BYOD and CYOD and protecting those and managing those corporate devices. And we're going to talk about, you know, why people are concerned about that. And I'm going to open up a couple of questions to you guys just to get a feel for where you are with that. We're then going to look at, you know, the Microsoft solution, so the defense in depth, as Microsoft call it, and we're going to talk about how you can use Microsoft solutions like Intune and Configuration Manager and Active Directory to enable you to kind of enroll devices and securely access data for your users. We're then going to talk about managing device compliance, so how you apply policies against the data that you're delivering to your users. We're then going to talk about general device security. So how do you nail down those devices and, more importantly, nail down those elements on them which need to be protected from a corporate standpoint? Finally, we're going to look at corporate information, and this is where we're going to talk about some of the new features like rights management in Azure. And then we've got a cool competition. The most important part of of the presentation is we've got some swag to give away to a few users. So we've got a cool competition at the end to enable you to kind of walk away with a couple of prizes. So if you guys have any questions today, you know, rather than, you know, standing up and giving them to us during the session, if you tweet your questions to TEB310, we'll try and answer those questions as we go along. So please, you know, feel free to fire that, you tweeters in the room. So why are we concerned? You know, let's start off with that. You know, what are the business needs and IT challenges around that? Well, you know, let's face it, the world's changed. Yeah, there's if you look at the data center space, and we looked at all that plethora of new features that are being delivered in Azure today. You know, the data center, the cloud space, it's forever evolving. But what's interesting, on the desktop and devices change, that's changed already. We're seeing massive changes in the way that people want to connect to their corporate applications and data. You know, and that's something that's affecting us now, today. It's something that we have to deal with. So, you know, the business needs are users want to be able to access all of those corporate applications and all that corporate data from many different devices in many different locations. You know, so how can we as IT professionals, you know, maintain that productivity without bringing in that corporate threat and without being able to fight off those particular evolving threats that are going to come with those devices and that kind of activity? So, you know, if we look at the IT needs, you know, IT is forever wanting to lower IT operational costs. So how do we maintain that access to all those devices and give the users the applications they want when they want without, you know, adding extra cost to IT? So I'm going to start with a question, yeah? So how many people here are allowed to use their personal devices today to access corporate data? Okay, so that's probably a good 60, 70% of the room. So if we look at what the industry is saying, that's pretty much bang on the button, but 57% of smartphone users use their personal devices to access corporate data. And that's probably about the amount of people that put their hands up in the room here today. So let me ask you another question, yeah? How many people are allowed to use their personal tablets to access corporate data? Okay, and that's interesting. It's round about the same, maybe a few more. So the industry is saying that 70% of tablet owners use their personal devices to access corporate data. I mean, that's a massive number of personal tablets that are being used in the enterprise. So I'm gonna ask you a question, yeah? So this is a question that's posed to a lot of IT managers, yeah? 46% of BYOD use is unmanaged by employees or ignored, yeah? How many people are concerned about that? Yeah, so probably about 50% of the room. Now, if I change that question and I say 46% of BYOD use is unmanaged, potentially exposing corporate data, how many people are more concerned about that? Okay, so a bigger round of applause, a bigger round of hands up. So, you know, we've got, these are the problems today. You know, we've got more and more people. I mean, you guys out there are the users of these devices, and you're demanding access to corporate resources. So how do we deal with these particular problems, and how do we use Microsoft technology to deal with that? So one of the solutions we can use, and something that was talked about a little bit in the keynote this morning, was around being able to allow users to access the environment through a single sign-on, you know, through ADFS. So, you know, users can register their BYOD devices using something called Workplace Join. Now, Workplace Join is a registration process where users can apply for access to company resources, and they're given a certificate that secures those company resources down. Now, this actually creates an Active Directory object for that particular device in AD, and, you know, it allows you to apply things like two-factor authentication against that user when you're trying to establish whether their identity is real. So we can use this single registration and this Active Directory authentication to provide things like web application proxies. So web application proxy might be you providing users seamless access to something like an intranet site, for example. So the users can enroll, we can publish our applications through web application proxy, and again, we can use some of these Active Directory features like multi-factor authentication. I think it was a demo this morning where Adam showed two people logging on in two different directions, in two different places. So we can use that to kind of identify that user and make sure that user is the correct user in that particular location. So the second way that we can allow users into the environment is by actually managing their devices. So we can use Windows Intune to enroll those devices. And again, when those devices are enrolled, we can put a secure certificate on that device. And we can use a company portal to provide access to company applications. And there were some new announcements this morning about the ability for us to use Intune to allow access to things like Outlook web applications as well. So that's coming in there as well, so a lot more kind of control around that. And again, you know, one of the really good features and the strongest features that I've seen with Intune is the ability to combine that with System Center Configuration Manager. So this actually allows me to apply the same policy to my tablets and my phones that I apply against my on-premise devices, so my desktops, my workstations, so I can have a single seamless policy across all the devices that my user uses. So this concept is called unified device management, and it really is, it's basically a connector that connects Windows Intune up to Configuration Manager, and it gives me one place with which to control policies that I apply against all of my devices in my environment. Now, obviously, from a desktop point of view, I can apply that against my Windows desktop devices. I can also now, with Configuration Manager, apply that against Mac OS devices. And on the Intune side, that applies against everything from RT devices all the way up through iOS and Android devices. So I want to talk about a couple of new Windows Intune features that we think are important. Then I'm going to talk about some of the features that were announced this morning. So one of the things that you can apply for Intune against these BYOD devices or these tablets is you can apply support for email profiles. So one of the things that I've done, because I'm an Intune user in my organization, and one of the things that we've done in our organization is we've denied people access to EAS in Exchange. So the only way that people can get access to corporate email is via registering their device with Intune, and then we then apply down to that device an automatic email profile that contains all of the corporate settings that we apply against email. So the support for the email profile goes across all of the devices that Intune manages. There's also now new features around iOS 7 that provide extra support around MDM for Apple devices, for example. And this includes per-app VPN, so the ability for somebody to bring up an app and actually connect a VPN profile to my corporate resources so they can get streaming access to that application. Also, single sign-on device configuration is all available through iOS as an MDM feature. We also have remote lock and password reset. So if a user forgets what their device PIN is when they register their device, as an administrator, I can now go on and I can reset that PIN, or I can actually put a new password in. Application control is now the ability to deny certain applications from being installed on a device. So, you know, you can actually, for a CYOD device or where it's corporate devices, I can say that users can access certain devices from a public portal, but I can also deny access to other devices. Conditional email access is a new feature as well. So this is where I say that unless a device is enrolled with Intune, the user can't get access to corporate email. And this is a really big one and a much requested user one, because it just allows me to control that access to corporate devices. And if a user won't enroll their device, then they don't get access to the corporate email system. And that's just a way of you being able to manage. And of course, when those profiles come down and that access is granted, I secure that with a certificate. If I don't want that user to have access to corporate email anymore, I simply revoke that certificate and that access gets removed from that device. Also as well, browser management and URL filtering. So this is a way of me allowing very safe access to corporate resources via browser settings that I can say, and also even deny access to certain sites as well using URL filtering. Another new Intune feature is bulk device enrollment. So when you've got large numbers of devices, I can use things like the inbuilt tools that Apple have, the Apple configuration utilities, to actually do bulk device enrollment as well across my corporate device. So what's new and been announced today? Well, there were some big additional features announced today. One of them is conditional access policy. So this is an extension on that email profile policy that allows me to have more control over corporate data and access, and I can automatically restrict devices against more applications than I could before. Managed Office mobile apps, I thought that was one of the big ones this morning, being able to control access to Office mobile apps from an Intune connection. So being able to say what a user can access and being allowed to restrict them in what they can do. So I could have a user today, for example, who can enroll with Intune, they can get access to Outlook web access via the portal, they might save a file down, an attachment that they have to my device, I encrypt that file with that certificate, I might then allow that user to edit that file and save that to, say, a OneDrive business portal. But I could restrict them saving that to other type of online cloud storage files. And again, you know, when that user leaves my organization, I revoke that device, and all of a sudden that access is gone, and that data that's on their device is gone. There's also, as well, a brand new enterprise mobility blog. I don't know if anybody saw that today, but this is where all of this new information is going to be driven and new features that are coming in. So I'm going to now hand you over to Martin, who's actually going to do a device enrollment demo, and he's going to demonstrate some of that unified management infrastructure.
Cool. Thank you. Okay, so I guess first of all, it's really good to see so many people in a PCIT session. Definitely goes along with some of the things we're seeing in the field, you know, implementing these kind of things for customers. So it's really good that you guys want to learn so much about it. So what we're going to do, so this is just a standard Windows Phone 8 device at the minute. It's got the latest patches on, so it's basically all the way up to before the developer preview of Windows 8. So what we're going to do is just go through the standard Windows Intune enrollment process, which is actually really straightforward, if I can scroll down. Okay, So first of all, where you'll find all this information is just in the settings pane within Windows Phone, and then if you scroll pretty much all the way down to company apps, just at the bottom there. So within there, you can add your enterprise account, and providing your Intune subscription set up properly and it's integrated into Configuration Manager and everything's syncing like it should do, then this is just basically the user's login credentials. So for me, for example, this would just be my regular email address and password, which hopefully no one was quick enough to write down. So at this point, what it's doing now is it's going off to the Intune cloud service, and it's actually going off to an address that we set up as part of the Intune subscription. So it'll basically take the infomon.com section of my email address and go off and look for a CNAME in DNS, and this forwards it onto the cloud service to be able to set up the enrollment. So downside is it does take a few minutes to run. But as far as the user's concerned, you know, it is a straightforward process. There's no providing server details. You don't need to add any additional credentials in. You don't need to provide any port numbers or anything like that. It is just a straightforward process of being able to put the regular email and password in. And obviously, if you synchronize using ADFS or Active Directory up in Azure as well, then the user only has to remember one password for the whole process. It just takes a while, so.
Okay, so very simple enrollment process. So if you run a Windows phone, that's available in the settings section of the phone. If you run an Android or an iOS device, there's an application that you can download from the Apple or the Android store that allows you to kind of have the same kind of functionality and enroll the device the same way. All of them work fundamentally the same way. When you enroll that device, you're given a certificate, and everything that's installed from that device or anything that's accessed by that device gets signed with that secure certificate. And we're going to talk a little bit about how that certificate can be used for other means a bit later on. So let's talk about device compliance. So how many people have some kind of compliance that they have their devices have to meet in their organization? Okay, so a good 50% of the room. You know, this is the world we live in. We have compliances that have to be applied. We have to be able to prove that devices meet those particular compliances. So you people in the room that have used Config Manager will be aware of a feature that's been around for a while called Desired Configuration Management, now called Settings Management in 2012 R2. And this is the ability for me to take a set of compliance settings and apply them against my devices and see whether those devices meet that particular compliance setting. Well, this has now been extended to Intune. So I can create a baseline, and there are some predefined compliance baselines. So if it's Sarbanes-Oxley or a FISA-type compliance that you have to prove, you can download these baselines, you can install them in your unified management solution, and then you can apply them against all devices that you manage across your organization. Now, why this is good is, first of all, you can see whether your devices meet that compliance. You get a very easy-to-see screen that shows you the percentage of devices that are in and out. But secondly, you can monitor them then for what we call baseline drift. So should some user go in and change a setting, or you have a number of settings over a period of time that move, you can actually be notified by an alert that those settings have changed. And alternatively, you might choose to put some automatic remediation in that, so you can push that device back into compliance. So some improved functionality that's been added recently, we now have the ability to copy settings. So if you have settings applied against one set of devices, you can now copy that to another device, and you can also allow things like parent-child settings between different types of policies. We now have the ability to trigger console alerts. So traditionally, you would have to go in and look at a report or look at a dashboard and see whether you're in compliance. We can now trigger console alerts if a device is out of compliance. And if you use something like Service Manager, for example, in your organization, another System Center product, we can automatically drive those baseline alerts as incidents in our incident queue. So what else is new? Brand new, richer reporting. So the ability to drill down into compliance reports to get to the finite detail. We've also got enhanced versioning and audit tracking that allow you to version different types of compliance that you apply, and so that you might apply a certain compliance against one set of devices, and then you might modify it and apply it against another set of devices. So lots of new features to allow you to kind of see whether compliance has been applied against your devices and managing that over the long term. So another really good feature that we've been using quite a lot with customers is VPN profile management. So, you know, this is the ability to deliver VPN profiles by your Intune or by Config Manager. So at a domain level, you probably might do that today with group policy, for example. But how do I apply VPN profiles to my devices that aren't domain joined? Well, we can do this through Intune and Configuration Manager. There's also major support for this from many different VPN vendors, such as Checkpoint, F5, Microsoft as well, so that we can actually take vendor-specific VPN profiles and apply them down through Intune. There's also support for different VPN profiles, such as PPTP and L2TP, and there's now support for allowing initiation of VPN profiles based on locations in DNS. So if I log on, for example, and I pick up an IP address in the US, I might get a profile that will direct me to a local VPN. So we've got that context-sensitive, aware type profiling also. So also Wi-Fi and certificate profiles. Again, something you might do today with group policy, but this is the ability for me to manage my Wi-Fi settings. So my user logs on to they enroll with Intune. I not only give them VPN settings and access to email, but I can also give them corporate Wi-Fi. And get this, I can use the Intune certificate to provide authenticated access to that local Wi-Fi. So I don't have to worry about setting up a new certificate. So that one certificate that I apply can apply against a number of different factors. And this actually allows me, it takes away the need for me to apply an internet-facing CA, for example, which is what I might do typically if I don't have this. So we're going to have a quick demo around managing settings of off-premise devices from Martin now. So you can actually see this running yourself. On. Can you flip the audio over, please?
There
we
go.
Sleep at the back there, yeah.
Yeah. Cool. So like Gordon was saying, all of this is now done via Configuration Manager, so which is obviously traditionally being used for managing your on-premise devices. Say on-premise because obviously you can obviously manage workgroup machines in Config Manager as well. But what you get with that integration with Intune is the ability to reach out with the exact same policies, the exact same settings, you know, the exact same pieces of software, and you can push them directly out to, you know, your same users that are just using mobile devices instead of just the regular on-premise laptop. So. Everything for this, so regardless of whether we're setting up a compliance setting for some kind of regulatory requirement, or whether it's a specific setting we want to turn on or not, or whether we want to control access to the camera, for instance, on the phone, you know, it's all done via the same node in the console. So to start with, so we're just going to go through creating a really simple configuration item. Okay, so we're going to say this is for a mobile device. Okay, and when we press next. So at the minute, so this actually grows whenever any updates to the platform come in. There'll be a configuration manager update as well, which will generally add some more items to this node as well. So basically at the minute, this is the latest R2 version with the latest Intune updates on. So these are the things we can manage on devices as well at the minute. So. Depending on the operating system, the phone obviously depends on what policy you can set. So obviously the biggest example is Internet Explorer. So you obviously won't be able to do that on Android or iOS devices. But there is a generic field for browser as well. So that will try and set it, if possible, in the specific browser that's on the operating system. So the most common ones we come across, we'll just run through those. So, some browser and store, as well as email management. So they're just pretty simple. So anyone that uses ActiveSync at the minute in Exchange and controls any policies they've set up in ActiveSync will be pretty familiar with these screens. They pretty much look exactly the same. So one of the things we're going to do for this example policy is just say that anyone that comes onto our equipment, you know, if they enroll, you know, that's fine. But we want to make sure that they have a minimum password specified. That's just our corporate policy. So we're going to say that the password has to be at least 5 characters long. So this can obviously be numbers, any alphanumeric character, basically anything that you can get on the keyboard. And we also want to set a password expiration as well. So what a lot of people are starting to do with this is set the same policy in here as you would in Active Directory for domain devices. So obviously there is no right or wrong, as far as I'm concerned, for setting a password policy. It's more down to personal preference and any regulatory requirements you might have. But we're just going to basically say that every 30 days, this password will expire. And we're going to remember the past 2 passwords. But what we don't want to do is we don't want to wipe the device. So this is quite a contentious point. Usually, it causes quite a few conversations when I'm with customers. And while I generally agree with the principle that I want the device to be secure, and it could be typed in incorrectly, quite genuinely. You might think, I've typed it in wrong 4 times. That's unlikely, but there could be a problem with a keyboard that the user's not noticed. These things do happen. But what it will do is just lock the user's account out instead. So we're still getting security on there. That's one of the things Brad touched on as well this morning, where when you start moving into the 2-factor authentication, if we start using 2-factor authentication, we can also enable that through Intune as well. So if there is a problem, and one of the things Adam demoed as well this morning was that ability to actually provide a second set of authentication for a user. Okay. So what we're going to do as well at the bottom there, so this is the ability that Gordon was talking about to either just report on non-compliance or actually specifically enforce it. And this is what the tick box at the bottom does there. So what it'll do is if we roll this out to a device that doesn't have these matching requirements, what it'll do is it'll actually attempt to remediate that locally and actually say, okay, I can see the policy's not right. It doesn't look to be working properly. So I'm just going to go ahead and try and apply this policy locally onto the device for us. Okay. And then in terms of the reporting back, what we can do is set the severity level in the report. So, this is just an internal preference, really. So this is probably something you would discuss in your team, for instance, to say, to us, if we don't have compliance, if it's to do with a password, then this is actually a critical event for us. Okay, so this just takes a couple of seconds to create.
While that's doing, a couple of questions have come through on the tweet. So somebody asked, does Intune support BlackBerry or Android? So Intune currently supports all Windows devices, as you'd expect, and we also support Android and iOS, but there's no support for BlackBerry in there for some funny reason. So just as a show of hands, of interest, how many people are BlackBerry users still here? Okay, a small number. So I don't know if there's any plan for support for BlackBerry either. So at the moment, I know it's just those three main platforms.
Yeah, I've not heard anything about BlackBerry support as well, personally. Like Gordon said, I'm not sure if it's something they'll actually focus on. So once we have our configuration item set up, every configuration item then can then be added to a baseline. And it's our baseline we use to select multiple configuration items that ultimately make up our overall compliance. So we just give this a quick name. And what we can do is just add in our configuration item. So it's just the one I created there. And one thing you'll notice as well is there's a revision number at the bottom there. So when I add this in, ultimately there's only one revision for this at the minute. But if we create make a modification to this, for instance, it'll save the revision history. So what this allows you to do, and this is something I've done with customers quite a bit, is it gives you the ability to test a new policy without pushing it out to everyone, which is something Configuration Manager is generically just done. Yeah, you've changed it, I'm going to push out to everyone. Yeah, you've told me to do it, so that's what I'm going to do. What this will enable you to do is change the revision number. So I can say I either want the latest version to be pushed out, something you can see on the right there, or if I make a change to it, it'll actually say, yeah, I only want to push out version 1, 2, or whatever the version might be. So there's a bit of control in there for you as well to say, you know what, yeah, that's all good, but I actually want to test this before I push it out. Okay, so when we've done that, this is just a case of deploying it out. So anyone that's familiar with Configuration Manager, this is a pretty standard process for you. So we obviously need to select the baseline. We want to push out this has been done for us because we selected the baseline to begin with rather than just doing the deploy option. And the alerting Gordon was talking about as well, this is where the alerting comes from. So this checkbox at the bottom there is just the ability to raise an alert in the console whenever there's a non-compliance item. And what you can do with these alerts is entirely up to you. So whether you want to hook in with some PowerShell or something to do any work on them, or you can also generate Operations Manager alerts and do some extra remediation, or whether it's just for reporting, you can also pump them out to Ops Manager as well. And then like everything else you deploy in Configuration Manager, it has to go out to a collection. So what we would do in this case is select a collection with all our device users in, and then we will push that out based on the schedule set at the bottom there, which is every 7 days. So this will just run over and over again until it's been removed or you know, the user unenrolls the device from the hierarchy. Okay, and just very quickly. So VPN profiles is probably the biggest company resource access that I do day to day. And the reason for that is the support for the Cisco AnyConnect client, which is really widely used, especially in the UK. So what we do is just go through. So what we can do is add different servers to the list. So this is just like an AnyConnect profile that you would just create normally through the AnyConnect client. We can say this is VPN North America. Get an IP address. So then we can select the authentication method we want to use as well. And one of the great things about this screen is depending on the profile you choose, depending on the requirements for that specific VPN software, the wizard will change depending on whatever you need as well. So the screen is actually customized for the requirements of the profile you're creating. So if I just show you a quick example of that. So I create a Microsoft one, for instance. You know, as you can see instantly, it's created another box at the bottom, and I can add a DNS suffix in there if I want as well. And the authentication methods change as well. So obviously, this just aligns in this case to the one you would create in Windows. So this is just a generic replacement for what you would create in Windows or group policy, for instance. Like we were saying, this is the ability to push out the same things to all devices rather than just your on-prem devices, such as just your laptops, desktops as well. And then just quickly in this as well, so certificates as well. This is a really big thing as well, actually. So let's have a show of hands. How many people run an internal certificate authority? So yeah, quite a few people. So you know, they're great for domain devices. And it works really well. But what about devices that never contact the network, for instance, or devices that are mobile, like ones registered through Incoom? So this is exactly what this screen is for. So we can push out different settings through Configuration Manager as well. So if we want to put our trusted root certificate onto our mobile devices, you know, we can do that. So it's just a case of running through the wizard, providing the certificate path and obviously telling it where we want to put it. So depending on what the certificate is, it'll depend what store it goes in. And that can just be pushed out like any regular item in configuration manager. You just create a deployment and off it goes.
Okay, so a couple of questions come in from you guys while we've been doing that. So one of the questions was, can you wipe corporate data only after incorrect password entries? So let's say a user puts in 4 incorrect entries. Mm-hmm. Can I have a policy that says that that's wiped after that?
So unfortunately, no. So there is selective wipe inside Intune, but it doesn't apply to when the device has had incorrect password attempts. However, I do know that is something that has been requested a lot, so I wouldn't be at all surprised comes in, yeah.
Yep. Okay, and another question was, is the setting for password quality used to stop people putting in 111 or 1234?
So password complexity, so I guess, again, no at the minute, but it is something that's been asked for. So like with a previous question, I wouldn't be surprised if it's coming in the future.
Okay, and final question was, do you know what the minimum version for Android support?
Not off the top of my head, but I can reply back to you later
catch you with that one. So, Okay, so you know what Martin was just showing you there was actually Configuration Manager. That was the Configuration Manager console. So as I mentioned earlier on, Configuration Manager completely integrates with Intune to give you a seamless experience for both your domain-connected devices and your non-domain-connected devices. So once you set up that initial connection, you can manage all the devices from one single place, which is, you know, quite a good thing where, you know, with other MDM tools, you have to tend to manage that as a separate item. Now, you could as well use Intune to manage all of your devices. So if you just want that software as a service type experience and don't want to deploy that on-premise infrastructure, we certainly have clients who are using Intune for all of their devices today. So, you know, you've got a good combination of solutions. I think the real strength in the solution comes when you combine both Configuration Manager on-premise and Intune off-premise. So we're gonna quickly jump on to talking about device security now, and I'm gonna actually let Martin talk through some of these elements on here.
Yeah, so there's just one actual other question before I do that. So it's just around what inventory is collected essentially, and what can we pull from a device. So that depends on the operating system. So for a Windows phone, we can get basically what you would get from a Configuration Manager client on a desktop. So we will get what's installed, and we will get the version of the operating system, the mobile phone number, the IMEI number of the SIM card, and information like that. From an iOS device, we can only get inventory from what we've pushed out. So that's a limitation in the iOS SDK currently, and that is something, again, just like the previous two questions, I know people are really interested in having that put in. It's something that's on the Connect site at the minute. And there was something specifically in there as well around location. So again, we can't get location. So the reason we can't get location is none of the vendors, so Android, Windows Phone as well, and iOS, you know, they don't actually let third-party applications access and collects the inventory. So from an application perspective, from a maps application, that works fine, but actually collecting that data isn't allowed, so that's not something
And I think there is some, there are some data protection laws in place to stop people kind of monitoring locations as well. Although there are specific applications available for specific industries that allow you to kind of track, you know, GPS signals on devices.
Okay, so just moving on. So what we're illustrating on this slide is what Microsoft offers in terms of security and protection. So this isn't just for mobile devices, but this is for Windows phones as well. For Windows devices. You know, some of this will apply to an OS X device as well for endpoint protection. But what it goes to illustrate is that a lot of customers I speak to actually say, so I'm thinking of buying Vendor X is protection suite, and it does A, B, and C. You know, Microsoft don't do that. So while in some cases that definitely is true, you know, for the most part, there's already stuff built into the operating system that prevent X, Y, or Z from happening to the device. And a great example of this is data execution prevention. So this has been around for quite a long time in Windows, and it's enabled by default. But one of the things that I spoke to a customer just a couple of weeks about was the stack they were looking at buying did the exact same thing. And as soon as they loaded the software on, because the Windows and the vendor software were trying to do the exact same thing, it just caused mayhem on the device, just like installing two AV providers. So, you know, they definitely need to understand what's available in Windows from a platform perspective for security. Okay, there's a couple of things we're going to look at in a couple of slides time soon. Specifically, early launch anti-malware, or ELAM. So that's quite a big piece of functionality that's coming to protecting the Windows client even further from rootkit viruses or bootloader injections, those kind of things. And also, secure boot as well is included in that as well. So we'll have a look at that in a little bit more detail. Okay, so I guess there's another question. So who uses Security Essentials or Windows Defender or any of the other Microsoft suite? So yeah, most people. So one of the things Microsoft are quite proud about, and this is something I've spoken to a lot of people about as well, is that System Center Endpoint Protection is an enterprise-grade version of the same software. So all that technology that's built in protecting your home device and your home machine is also in the enterprise version as well, just backed with a few more additional features for the enterprise as well. So it's already built on solid technology. So when people say Microsoft are just starting to venture into endpoint protection, you know, from the enterprise, you know, there was forefront endpoint protection before that, and not really a great deal before that as such, but you know, they have been in the game for quite a long time from the home user perspective as well. Okay, so finally on top of there is the management piece. So this is Configuration Manager, which obviously in 2012, we managed System Center Endpoint Protection through Configuration Manager. So again, we're using that single console experience to manage all our devices. So from an antivirus and an anti-malware point of view as well, you know, we also do software distribution through there as well. Software updates are all done through Configuration Manager as well, if you choose to. So everything can be done from one console, so we don't have to have three or four different admin tools installed on our workstations. It just makes it a lot easier to do. Okay.
And just to add to that, so both the Intune agent and the Configuration Manager agent both have System Center Endpoint Protection built into them. So it's just a matter of you enabling that on the device that you're deploying the agent to. All of the update management, as Martin said, is all managed through the WSUS implementation within Configuration Manager. So again, it's not only consistency across policy settings that I'm applying to my devices, but it's also consistency across my antivirus policies, my firewall policies, which really just gives you that peace of mind that all your devices are being protected in the same way.
Yeah, one of the, this just brings us onto one of the jewels in the endpoint protection crown, really. So one of the really good features in there is behavior monitoring. And it ties into a feature called the dynamic signature service as well. So what this does is you would be able to see this working on a machine if you were talking Event Viewer. So basically, if we have an application that drops a known piece of malware onto a machine, the behavior monitoring service will pick that executable up and pick that action up. And what it'll do is, if you opt into the Active Protection Service, what used to be called SpyNet, what that'll do on the fly is send information about that process up to the Microsoft Protection Service, and it'll ask some questions about whether other people have seen this infection before. You know, is it actually causing us a problem? Is it a false positive, for instance? And what it'll do is it'll say, yeah, you know, I can see other people are having the exact same problem, but we've not shipped a signature for that yet. So what I'll do is send down that signature to the client that's requested it in real time. So it's a telemetry service, basically, that sends up information about the referring process, if you like. And what'll happen from there is that'll get processed on the client locally. When the signature then gets shipped out to the masses, it'll just merge in with the rest of the policy definitions that come in there as well. So what this is really good at protecting you against is viruses, for instance, that are designed for a specific organization. So you sometimes hear about ex-employees, for instance, writing pieces of malware, for instance, for somewhere that they've been let go or sacked, for instance. You know, this would obviously go a long way to trying to protect you against that as well. So things that are specifically designed for environments. Okay, which brings us on to another part of System Center Endpoint Protection, which is the Cloud Clean Restore Service. So basically what this does is monitors system files on the machine. So things like the kernel, things in the System 32 folder, Explorer, those kind of things, DLLs. And what it'll do is say, you know, I can see that one of these files has been compromised. So what it'll do from there is send information about that file, you know, what service packs are applied, what KB articles are applied that change the version number of this file. And it'll send a request up to the symbol store that's in Microsoft. And what it'll do is just download a replacement file for you, so, putting you into a protected state again. So if this is a file that's not already loaded into memory or is not already being accessed, you won't need to restart your machine. If it's something like Explorer, for instance, you would obviously need to restart to be able to, you know, clean your machine properly. But what it does is prevent as many rebuilds, for instance. You know, what we used to do when the system got infected, instead of cleaning it, we would generally just rebuild the machine. You know, this can go quite a long way to preventing this from being done, so it can save you quite a lot of time. Okay, so what we've got at the top here is just an overview of the Windows 7 boot process. So it's nothing really exciting as such, but what it does do is show us where our system can be infected before Windows loads up. So one of the things you'll notice is when we're using BIOS, our OS loader will start up, it'll come out with a boot record, you know, we'll start loading a load of third-party drivers, both of which could be infected with malware, and then we would have our anti-malware service start. So our system's already infected before we've even thought about logging on. Again, the only way to really clean this is to rebuild the machine effectively. So if you move forward to Windows 8, so some of the functionality that was introduced in Windows 8 links into the UEFI BIOS system. So our bootloader is now signed, so it's easy to detect if that's been compromised in some way. And our anti-malware service actually starts before any drivers are loaded. So there's not been any for a while, to be honest, but it used to be quite a problem, especially going back to, you know, the pre-XP days where we could have a third-party driver that was actually a virus. What this does is now protect you against that, so the malware service is actually loading up before Windows does as well.
Okay, a couple of questions. So the Cloud Clean Restore, is that a Microsoft service only?
Yes.
Okay, so yep. only available for that stack. And a lot of interest in the compliance stuff that we talked about earlier on. So is the standalone compliance like PCI and Sarbanes-Oxley, are they available for standalone Intune or only when it's configured as part of a unified device management solution?
So that all depends on the people that have written it. So PCI compliance, yes, there is one available for Intune. Energy Star compliance, yes, there is one available for Intune. But for most of them, unfortunately, no, there isn't. So you would need to convert them yourself into an Intune.
Okay, so the convertible. You can take the config manager once
it's manual. It's manual effort, but yeah, it's possible.
Okay, that's good to know.
Okay, so some of the things that were new in the R2 release, a configuration manager. So for Windows 8, or almost specifically 8.1 and Server 2012, you know, support for that coming as you would expect. If you're using modern UI for the application, you'll get an alert toast. So an alert toast is just the pop-up that comes in the top right of your screen. So instead of getting an alert in the system tray, you'll get a toast notification for it as well. So there's also full support for scanning CSV volumes. If you run this on for instance, a Hyper-V cluster or a SQL cluster that's got some CSV disk in there. And it also supports a new REFS file system as well that's in Windows Server 2012 as well. And then finally, support for modern UI applications. So the way they're run, the way they're built and executed is different from a traditional application. So as such, the way they're scanned is different and the way they need to be remediated is different. So there's support for that in there as well. And then there's also quite a lot of improvement gone into you know, hardening the system, making sure the service can't be compromised because it's something that runs as a service, making sure there's improved rootkit detection as well, and then a lot of improvements gone into automatic remediation as well, so trying to make sure that everything can be cleaned up without you needing to do any extra remediative action.
Cool. Okay, so I think you're gonna demo some of this to us now, aren't you?
So obviously antivirus is generally antivirus. So what we can do is just show you some of the settings that you can do. So I mean, mostly the policies are the same as any other AV vendor. So you can set exclusions, you can set scan times, you can set settings that say don't run if my CPU usage is too high.
And these apply both to my Intune, my non-domain connected, and my domain connected ones.
Yeah. So if the agent's available for something that's configured via Intune, yes. Okay. So the Active Protection Service. So it's actually described as a subscription service, which potentially doesn't really, shine it in the best light. You know, most people will think, well, it's a subscription. How much is it going to cost me? So the answer is nothing. So you have two levels of membership, which is basic and advanced. And the only difference between these really is what telemetry is sent back to Microsoft. So none of it is personally identifiable. But what information does go up obviously depends. So we'll get more information on the file. So we might get some extra information about the metadata, so extra file version information, extra info about the publisher. And that's the only difference between the two settings. So you won't see, from a functionality point of view, you won't see anything different between the two versions at all. But what you will see is just data that goes back up to Microsoft. Okay, so for each collection we have in Configuration Manager as well, so we can also set alert settings for the Endpoint Protection Agent. So again, this is regardless of whether it's for mobile devices, tablets, or Windows desktops or Windows servers for that matter as well. That's not a good one to pick. Okay, so basically the options we have on there are just around alerting. So basically, what we can do is specify different alert settings on a per collection basis. So this might be useful for for mobile devices or devices that are out in the field. You might want to react to alerts on those quicker than other devices. It all depends what the scenario is. What it lets us do is just set different thresholds, for instance. So a lot of the thresholds that you can see at the top, based on percentages. So we can also filter that down there as well. And we can also send out alerts if a piece of malware has been detected or the number of infections goes up as well. So if we're in the middle of an outbreak, one of the things you'll generally see is a lot of machines coming in bulk reporting they have a new piece of malware. So we can detect that behavior and make sure we alert to it in the appropriate way as well. And all this information can then be viewed in the reporting or through the console as well, which we'll just browse to. So in the monitoring workspace, there is the endpoint protection status. And this is per collection view. So you'll see the collection based at the top there. And these are all the collections that we've said show up reporting into the console. You just pick which one you want, and it gives you some reporting on there. And all these links are clickable to go find more information. And they'll build lists of machines, which you can then do remediative actions on, like running a scan, forcing updates. And you can see some additional information on there. So you can see some of these have actually got a remediation status are cleaned. So these are machines that have had something detected on them, and a clean process is being run. So one of the things where this works really well, especially with Config Manager, so it has a bit of a reputation about taking its time, shall we say. So what we don't want to do is make sure that information is delayed. So the way endpoint protection information is sent back to the Configuration Manager site, it is running on a different process. So the information gets back a lot quicker. any actions we initiate from the console will also happen relatively quickly compared to a lot of the other actions you would do in Configuration Manager as well.
Okay, so thanks for that, Martin. Okay, so we're just going to cover now the final thing before we kind of get to competition time. And this is around some of the various options for actually protecting corporate information that's on their devices. So as I said, we saw a couple this morning. The rights management is something actually that we've been implementing for some while using the on-premise rights management. But now it's in Azure. It actually makes that whole process much simplified. You know, one of the great things that I like about Azure for my business in particular is it's just making me more agile. It's allowing me to use more features in a short period of time without kind of a lot of ramp up with my consultants or a lot of downtime for my systems. So I think, you know, it's allowing companies to be more agile in the way that they develop stuff, but also in the way that they implement resources. So a couple of things that we're going to talk about just really quickly are BitLocker. So anybody here use BitLocker today as an encryption mechanism? Wow. So a good kind of 50, 60% of you. So BitLocker is a way that you can encrypt your whole devices and encrypt file systems. So for example, I have an SSD card in my Surface tablet, and that's BitLocker encrypted. So that it's a corporate device that's been given to me. So any stuff that goes onto that device, I have to provide a password for. So it's a way of being able to block off whole file systems and apply settings against them. So to simplify, you know, provisioning and the deployment of BitLocker, we have something called MBAM, which is the BitLocker administration tool. And this provides roughly about 20 additional group policies that you can apply that allow you to easily configure and enforce BitLocker and BitLocker2Go settings within your enterprise. So to enforce these, we require an agent deployed, and that agent will check roughly every 90 minutes to see if the policy has changed. And if the changes are detected, they'll be enforced immediately to that device. So since we're using group policies in MBAM, you know, enterprises can very easily target the configured policies to machines that are within Active Directory OUs, for example. And it will also allow organizations to target specific hardware that should have an encryption policy like HP and Dell. MBAM also makes it much more easily to deploy BitLocker as a part of a Windows 7 build, for example. So, for example, a lot of enterprises are looking to enable BitLocker with TPM, which is a built-in encryption mechanism on a device. So an IT professional, for example, can use MBAM as part of their Windows 7 deployment, and the process might be that they enable BitLocker in the build, and then the final part of that BitLocker process is the user will be asked to put in a particular ID, and they'll be prompted during that setup, and then the BitLocker is completed. So it's a very good way of doing that kind of file-based encryption. And of course, it integrates with Configuration Manager as well. So if I'm applying patches and I need to release that BitLocker mechanism, or if I'm doing operating system deployment and I need to start and stop BitLocker, I can do that from within the Configuration Manager console. So very quick overview on the BitLocker process. So we have our group policy and our AD that we target our particular devices. And then we have our MBAM content that we target on that particular machine. So when a user needs to recover password data, we use a key recovery service, and then the help desk uses a UI to actually carry out the key discovery. And then this just ensures really that our compliance data is protected from a centralized resource. And it also provides us with compliance reports so we can see the data that's been protected within our organization. Now, the second part is rights management. Now, we saw Azure rights management this morning as a cloud-based solution, but rights management can also be deployed Active Directory rights management on-premise. So we can provide that as a seamless mechanism. And this is all around providing encryption against particular data that I don't want users to see. So for example, you folks out there that have Windows phones, there's a rights management agent that you can download that will allow you to securely encrypt things like pictures. So I've got a customer who actually goes out and takes a lot of pictures of sites that they're on and then encrypt those pictures with data and then securely put them into a SkyDive store. More commonly, where it's used in organizations is around email. So rights management can be applied against an email system, and you apply a rights management client to your Outlook, and then you can actually send an email to somebody and specify that that user must be able to register themselves before they can open that email. So a rights managed email. Furthermore, I can say that that email cannot be forwarded, it cannot be saved to that device, and it cannot be copied. So if somebody tries to use a snipping tool, for example, to copy it, they'll just get a gray screen appear on that device. So this is being rolled out. There's rights management clients now for Android and for iOS. So again, I could have an individual file like a Word document that has rights management. A user can view it, can edit it, but I can choose that document isn't saved down to that device or forwarded in an email to somebody else. So it's expression-based as well, access control. So I have a particular customer as well who uses expression-based control to pick up social security numbers in emails and automatically encrypt those emails if those social security numbers are detected. So you can actually use it to automatically detect files that can be encrypted, as well as specifying particular folders and files as well for targeting. So most of the things that we showed you today as well, Microsoft announced some while ago, the Enterprise Mobility Suite. This is basically PCIT in a box. It includes a number of things, and I think Brad announced some pricing around that this morning. It was $4, I think, a user, rather than a per device. So this actually delivers you hybrid identity management. So it includes Azure rights management services. It includes Azure Active Directory Premium, and it also includes access to your Intune agent. And what's interesting within that is your users are licensed to use up to four different devices as part of that. And why that's interesting is, five different devices. Why that's interesting is I actually run four different devices in my enterprise myself. I have a Surface tablet, which I use on planes, trains, and automobiles. I have a dev laptop as well, which has a config manager agent, my Surface having an Intune agent. I then have an office machine that I use, and I also use some hot desk facilities. So, you know, the reality is that most of us will definitely be using at least two devices, and most of us will be using more than four. How many people here use more than two devices currently? Pretty much most of you. So, you know, this is the world that we're moving into. Self-service password resets is another feature that's being delivered with the Enterprise Mobility Suite. Another big pain for IT admins within an organization, being able to deliver that. Multi-factor authentication. For those who don't know that, you've probably all used it at some point on the internet. So this is where you go to MSN, for example, and it says that it's got to call you, and somebody calls you, or you call a number, or a number calls you, and they give you a digit code that you then specify into to identify you on that device. You could also have an application on your device that specifies a password. It's a way of us ensuring that your identity is the right identity. Selective wipe of applications, sync between cloud and on-premise directories are the other key features. Now, I'm going to very quickly just show you some of these features today. All of you will be familiar with this interface by now. And down here, you can see that I've got my Active Directory add-in. So it's quite interesting. I use Active Directory in my business, and I'm almost a completely cloud business now. I think about the tools that I use. I use Office 365, I use CRM Online, I use Intune. All of these have the same Active Directory backend. So for me applying users to those particular solutions, it uses the same backend. So if you have Office 365 today and you move to Intune, it's the same Active Directory that Intune uses that's applied with Office 365. And you can see in here that I have, you know, my directory, so I can actually pull into my directory, and this is Active Directory Premium. I can actually add applications. So you remember in the keynote this morning, we talked to, Brad talked about being able to have one place for your SaaS applications. Well, you know, I think Brad said most users have over 200 SaaS applications that you have access to. And actually here, we can see that I've got a whole directory of applications that I can actually add in Dropbox, DocuSign, and I can have a single sign-on for all users in my Active Directory to these applications. So that they don't, and that multi-factor authentication can be applied against a sign-on for all of these particular applications. So I can start to have single sign-on in the cloud. If I want single sign-on on my domain, we have Forefront Identity Manager, which is a single sign-on tool, and we might sync the two up within the cloud. So think about this as kind of being like my Forefront Identity Manager for the cloud. I can actually go in and add groups and domains and domain integration, and I can view reports. Now, if I just go back a step, we can see here I have my rights management. So this is where I apply this policies, and I can go into my individual directory, and I can create a new rights policy template or manage an existing rights template. It comes out of the box with two already defined templates. It has a InfraMon confidential. That's where I can choose that only people I select can open that mail, but they might be allowed to save that or forward that on. Confidential view only is where I only want the person that I'm sending that file to be able to see this. And to actually show you this kind of working, we sent a couple of mails out. You can see right at the top of the mailbox there, I have a mail that's got a little access denied icon on it. Now, if I open this up, what this will do is it will go into Active Directory and it will specify my credentials, and you can see there. But notice I can't forward it. I can't save it down to anywhere, so it's not letting me specify. And actually, if I open up a snipping tool and try and copy it, you can see the screen's gone gray. Yeah, so it actually denies my user being able to do anything with that particular device. So it's individual access, and that's the same if this was a Word document or files within a file share. So a very good way of being able to lock down corporate data. So I'm just going to, just want to kind of summarize now on what we've done today, and then we're going to give some goodies away. So, you know, here's the facts, guys. BYOD, CYOD, it's happening. You know, this evolution of device, if you don't have a plan for this, make one now. Start building it into your organizations. It's an ever-agile world we're coming into. Your IT needs to be ever-agile to meet those individual demands. You know, Microsoft offer device and corporate data protection through defense in depth. And we really hope that we've shown you some of that depth today in the tool sets that are available. System-Centered Configuration Manager and Intune and Azure provide a complete solution for managing both your assets and your information. And, you know, go out and protect your organization today with the knowledge you've got. You know, that's very, very important. So finally, we're going to do a very quick giveaway. I've got a bag of swag. Right, now, how many users, how many people in the room have got iOS 7 on an iOS 7 device? Right, so I'd like one of you iOS 7 people to come up here. I'd like a volunteer. Hand in the air. Everybody looking worried. Please come up, sir. Right, so how many Android users have we got out there? Okay, so I'd like one of you Android users to volunteer to come up. There's swag in it, so it's worth coming up. There we go. And how many Windows users have we got out there? That is interesting. Okay, so one of you Windows users, are you going to come up and win? Fantastic. Right, so what we're actually going to do, right, we have a live Intune system. We're going to ask you guys to enroll in Intune, and we're going to have a competition to see who gets there first. And the winner actually wins a signed book by Kent, who we have in the front here. So those who saw his session yesterday or his sessions today, it's a system-centered configuration book. So I'm going to give you guys some instructions, right? And I want you to download the company portal from your app store. And the one that does it first, I want you to put the put your hand up. So for the Windows person, you can do that through settings. So go into settings enrol. Is it 8.1 you've got, sir, or 8? It's 8.1. I think it's called Workplace in 8.1. So if you want to go and add in. For you guys on Android and Apple, do you have the app installed already? The company. So you, if you go to your store, you can download the application, which will allow you. And it's actually called, Martin, in the store?
Company Portal.
It's called Company Portal. So if you go to your store and download that. Does AirWatch block you from doing it?
Probably.
Okay. Yeah. So you're actually joined to an AirWatch folder there. Okay, will it allow you to join another one?
No, it won't.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you what, I'll give you my Windows device and you can do it with my Windows device, yeah? Yeah, it's called Company Store and it'll be available in the App Store.
Company Portal.
Company Portal.
Yeah, that's the one.
Right, well, let's see if these guys are probably going to beat you to it now, look. So I'll give you my device anyway. And the first one to actually enroll. Now, actually, what's happening when these guys are actually going into their stores, they're actually getting a certificate off us. Just waiting for my device to start up now. So you install it. Right, well, it's quite easy. I just remove your certificate, and then you no longer have access to the store. So it's simple off. Right, so let me just... Right, so if you go into settings on that one, I've got 8.1 as well.
Well, we could also wipe it as well, that would work.
Yeah. Yeah, we could... and you guys got backups of your devices, yeah? Yeah? Okay, just in case, yeah? Okay. Seriously? Oh, was that was because I was already enrolled in there? That's not fair. Let me just go back. All right, so let me just delete that, and you can do it from scratch because that's cheating. Yeah. So. Okay. So you're waiting on the app. How are you getting on here? Wow, you're almost there. So, yeah, if you just put that username and password in.
Wait until his app's downloaded. That's not very fair.
We're not really giving you a chance over there with the Windows phone, are we, really? As you're last to the game. Okay, how are we getting on here? Let's have a look. Wow, you're just a password away by the looks of it. Is the app still loading? Wow, I can see that in there as well. Well, you're just a password behind this gentleman on the end. How are you getting on?
He's asking for a server.
Oh, is that epic fail on the Windows device? Yeah, did you put in...
You're also not joined to a network here.
Oh, yeah, that would help, yeah. Okay. Is it downloading the? Yeah. Okay. That's capital P, A, # W, and that's a zero before the RD. Wow, we almost have a winner, I think. Ah, oh, let's have a look.
I'll make sure I typed in the username right as well.
Let's have a look.
I think I got the password.
Yeah, that's right. So we're just almost there. And I think you got, that should be demo there. And you've got an R. Oh, you'll have to do that. I'm not familiar with those devices. How are you getting on? Okay. Almost got that.
Just for you, I threw it on a tablet with Wi-Fi.
Are you on there already?
I am.
Oh, guys, do we have a winner? And actually not out of my three selected ones.
Nope.
I'll tell you what. Come here. Let's see what we got. There you go. That's a winner on the tablet. Right, so you can take that, yeah? And let me see how you guys are doing here. We have a winner over here. And which device is that, sir?
iPhone.
That's the iPhone device. So there you go. You can have the signed book by Kent. And who's set? I've got a second prize here. Are you done? Ah, Is that, and that, sorry to have to say the Android device. You were doing so well as well. Okay, thank you. Thank you very much indeed. Hey, thank you very much, guys, for coming. I hope that was a worthwhile session, and hope to see you all around. Thank you.